Hello, I'm James, and I've been a Seinfeld fan since the 90s.
Hello, I'm Steve. I watched the Seinfeld pilot when it was first shown in the UK, but it didn't click, and I walked away. Over 25 years later, I'm having another go for science.
And together we're watching the entire Seinfeld series and making our own commentary track in another Seinfeld podcast we call Hello, Newman.
There's not too much to do,
no.
I would hope.
No.
A bit of topping and tailing, that's it.
A little bit of topping and tailing, a little mucking about with it sometimes, but...
So that means basically you have one good editing session each month.
Yeah, basically.
That's pretty good.
No, every 2 weeks. I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Because we do two.
Yeah.
Not that anyone else would ever know this.
Oh. Well, they won't. I'm definitely cutting all this out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Okay, I've got it. that's my room tone. Good. And what I don't know, it's mostly brown. Is the tone of the room. Okay, I'm happy with all that. So,
this is the show, is it?
Yeah, I guess I should say hello, welcome to just check my reference guide, episode 25 of Hello, Newman.
What's that an anniversary is, do you know?
Yeah, 25. Isn't that like...
cardboard?
Silver.
Silver. Silver cardboard. Silver spray.
Silver cardboard. Yeah, no, the... Yeah, it's one of those statue blokes that are silver,
yeah,
silver sprayed.
That's right.
And shock gullible tourists and children. Essentially the same thing, isn't it? So welcome to the show. This is the show that you're listening to right now. And we're going to watch Seinfeld, aren't we?
Yeah.
I think
that's what we do.
Yeah, it's what we do. It's what we're about. We're going to watch it on Amazon Prime in the UK. Although I don't, we're out of, there's a little lump in the middle of this season in terms of broadcast order and order on, because you remember The Stranded from last season?
Oh, yeah.
Was actually in season 3, wasn't it, originally?
That's right, so, yeah.
That's the only real lump. But yeah, we're watching it on Amazon Prime in the UK. Other ways of watching Seinfeld are available. And, you know, you choose the one that suits you best. Maybe you want to hop into a time machine back to 1991 and watch these as they come out and sort of listen to the...
I mean, if it travels in time and space, you can probably find yourself in a live studio audience.
Oh, wow. Can you imagine? I bet that was a lot of fun.
I should expect so.
Yeah.
Although, I guess we would find out if anyone had done that. Because if we were watching an episode and then, like, a big blue box turned up...
Yeah.
We'd kind of know that someone had listened to our advice and travelled in time. Such a responsibility, isn't it?
Yeah, it is,
that we've just had created for ourselves.
I think we carry it very well, though. We've got broad shoulders, you and I, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I said, I'm watching it on Amazon. Well, we're watching it. I mean, I should probably say that, right? It's not just me on my own.
Yeah, I'm hitting.
Steve isn't my...
I'm not put in post.
No, you're not my Tyler Durden. And I've got it all queued up here, so if you're watching along, I'm going to press play now. There we go.
And in some places, there can be entire streets where there are rather unlucky, once were store units and now are...
That's true.
Boarded up or had their windows whitewashed.
It sounds to me like he's riffing about Brexit Britain.
I think so. Come and see the ever-changing precinct area of Southampton City Centre to get an idea of where things aren't.
Yeah, he's predicting the death of the high street here, which is, you know, it's a sad situation.
So sad.
Yeah. So new location. They're outside a bar and grill, looking at the Dream Cafe, a newly opened restaurant in their neighbourhood. This is a nicely played scene in terms of George is trying to have quite a meaningful conversation with Jerry. Jerry is managing nicely to keep it ticked over while being completely obsessed by the guy running the Dream Cafe. But laying the seeds here, his girlfriend wants George to take an IQ test.
Yeah. Why wouldn't he want to take an IQ test?
Well, it's George. His insecurities wouldn't let him, you know. Obviously, let's presume that this relationship is relatively new. Test? Could be. If George is dead in a box, does he really exist?
Has he passed the test?
Yeah. But there you are, like you said, he's sure he's got a low IQ. His insecurities worry him. He cheated on his SATs. Is that what they call them?
Mm-hmm.
It's a standard automaton test.
American test.
Standard American test. Oh, I thought they had to make a robot. And that's how they get all their best. Okay, so we've shifted upstairs, and I think I'd like to open up a corner that we've never opened before.
Is this binocular corner?
Well, no. Although there's another new corner.
Okay.
It's two corners combined. It's Sartorial and Apple Corner. So welcome to Sartorial and Apple Corner. Apple update, Steve?
It's still the special edition, as far as I'm aware, although there is a neat new edition of a note or even post-it note holder.
Lovely.
Affixed to the side of the to the unit, which is quite fetching.
So no real update, but thank you very much for noticing the additional accessories, Steve.
It's my job.
Let's move on to the sartorial aspect of this particular scene. What's he wearing?
It's a none more cyan top, isn't it?
It is. It's a combination of a horrible length, a horrible neck, and a disgusting colour.
Yeah.
It's a triple threat.
It's kind of got no shape on him as well. It's just, it's how a fleece would look on someone today.
Oh, can you imagine? I only ever went for fleeces that had like the zippy uppy bit at the top, so it created a bit of a collar. Because a plain jumper fleece didn't make anyone look good, did it?
So he's brought a big book
of standard American tests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would help him with an IQ test.
Yeah.
But sure.
I like the fact that cologne is a big deal. This is just before the cologne boom of the 90s. When with the advent of, what was that? CK1. Everyone smelt the same for a summer.
Mm.
It was a true summer of equality, the CK1 summer. It was a beautiful thing. I worked at...
What is Casus Belli? Do you know?
No idea. No,
I didn't look it up.
No.
Throw that back at him.
Yeah. Salient advice from Jerry. Got drawn there. I love this episode.
Yeah, it's a good. I got drawn in actually between them as well.
Yeah, it's lovely. We get to learn something new about Elaine.
That's true.
Mm. And we get confirmed what we think we already thought we knew about George. That he is all bluster and no real intelligence. So I read today. Apparently Albert Einstein had an IQ of 160.
Wow.
On the same website, it claims that Marilyn Monroe had an IQ of 163.
She did a lot of reading.
She's a very intelligent young lady.
I like that, the little stage direction there.
Really nice bit of business, yeah, absolutely.
Just how they're all like very comfortable in each other's company, very relaxed here. It's quite a pleasant scene, really.
And it also didn't ruin the shot.
Yes.
Yeah. But no, I agree. Again, it's a nice character moment. A nice, you know, they're a very tight-knit group of individuals. See what they're reading there? Those are newspapers, kids.
Quite large format newspapers, in fact.
Yeah.
The broadest of broadsheets.
Yeah, that's where...
people used to sleep under those.
Yeah, have their fish and chips wrapped in them. Papier-mâché. Brilliant.
He just Corbin'd it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, not quite. Into the Dream Cafe. And Babu Bart. You enjoy the characterization of Babu Bart?
He's very excited to have a customer.
He is.
That's what got me first about it. Not necessarily if he was playing any particular stereotype or anything, but
the
just
hot towels.
That's a pretty hot towel.
I love that. Franks and beans. This reminds me a little bit of a restaurant that I think we've got takeaway before from.
Oh yes,
that was half their menu was Thai, half of it was Italian.
Italian, yes.
But this is obviously that idea extrapolated to the nth degree.
Not necessarily an actual fusion restaurant, but several different countries. One thing to mention here, Jerry's gums and his shirt are pretty much the same colour.
That's true. And the internal monologue's back.
It is, yeah.
To brilliant effect. The self-congratulatory...
He's very pleased with himself that he has managed to step into the Dream Cafe.
Oh, self-congratulatory Jerry in this episode is brilliant. So George is going to take his SAT test and is forcing his really normal, pleasant, intelligent, looking girlfriend. How she's ended up with George again, how she's ended up with George is beyond me. But she already looks like she finds him entirely ridiculous, but still a little charming. But lays outside the window to take that. What could possibly go wrong? She's going to do the SAT test, he'll get it back, get a decent score.
Yeah, it'll be done in no time.
Yeah. I quite confidently...
Trouble-free, no pain.
I quite confidently predict that nothing can possibly go wrong.
A fun little caper, a social experiment.
Yeah. So attentive, Babu. We're back in the restaurant.
Very attentive
Babu back.
Obviously, you know, very pleased to be able to serve a customer.
I like the eclectic photographs he's got around the place.
Also the flags.
Yeah, oh yeah.
To really help get across there. Your dream is international.
Toby Jugs up there. Another brilliant set, actually. A rigatoni too, Franks and beans, rigatoni. What a menu.
But he reacted poorly to the tea and toast line.
Yeah, that's true.
He's maybe a little bit too openly disappointed about that. But maybe that gives you a hint about why that isn't a particularly lucky location. Because people who are passing by... Don't really want anything too fancy.
Did you hear that reaction when Kramer came in?
A limp applause.
It's almost like the beginnings of something.
Isn't it?
Mm. The jacket again.
Yes, yes. You did you did mention that this would be a recurring thing.
It's a runner. I can see whether...
I don't know so much about Elaine's ability to be able to take this, and there we go, to take this test anywhere near any of her friends.
Yeah. But, you know, sensibly, she's getting at the move, and I'm sure her friends will respect that. Late entrance for Kramer, but once he's here like a hurricane, isn't he?
Yes.
What is it? I can't remember what Jerry ordered now, but it looks horrible.
I can't remember either. Sculpture of Limitations.
It's good. He's not having it. I really think you're wrong. So obviously, Kramer's reaction to being told that she's got to concentrate on something is to sit right next to her and distract her as much as he possibly can.
Find out more information. Why not?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, he's got a curious mind. He can't get his head around the fact that anyone would be doing this for something, a reason as dull as the one that George wants Elaine to take it for. Oh, brilliant! What a piece of business. Absolutely fantastic. No one in the world.
He's prepared to absolutely injure himself in the process.
Oh, it's perfect. George doing some weapon grade lying in this episode. Brilliant. I assume the New Yorker's quite an upmarket magazine. He's clever enough to read that. Or do you think it was there?
Sorry, I'm just distracted by his choice of singing.
His choice of singing is a little bit close to the knuckle, I think. there are moments in this episode where 20 years on, make me feel a little bit uncomfortable. Interesting actor, though.
Very, very successful.
Brian actor, George?
In fact, Brian George, yes.
Yeah.
Voice acting work, lots of character acting, bit parts, all sorts of things going on.
Yes.
Still working today?
Absolutely.
Always always great to have someone with a long and interesting career.
Always.
Here in Seinfeld.
And when you listen to him talk, he was educated in England, moved to Canada for the later part of his education, was part of Second City with people like John Candy and the like.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's got some chops on him, which is good. But yeah, when you listen to him talk, as he does in the extras of the DVD, sounds very British. That won't be the last time we see his character on Seinfeld as well. He will reoccur.
Wow, that is exciting.
Yeah. Apparently the cast and crew, there's something he does at the end. Right? The reason he reoccurs. There's something he does at the end, which apparently, when filming subsequent episodes, the cast would do it each other. So his performance kind of became legendary, which I think led to him coming back. Yeah, again.
My God, he's full of himself, isn't he?
He's so pleased with what he's done. He's basically convinced him to completely change his business model.
Yeah, on his first visit.
Yeah. Which, you know, he's awfully easily swayed, is Babu, isn't he? So Elaine's back with the IQ test, complete with coffee and rigatoni sauce.
Yeah. It's the kind of test paper that says, I've been on a caper.
Yes. Absolutely. This is though George knocking his lying miles out of the park here. Brilliant, brilliant freeform compound bullshit.
Yep.
I love the tactic of making the person who's asking you these incredulous questions sound like the idiot.
Well, and this is someone, of course, with whom he's in a relationship with.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's in a relationship, so she's automatically become the enemy.
Yeah.
I think when we get to fully meet his parents, you might understand actually where that attitude towards relationships might have come from.
Of course he climbed out the window. Yeah. It's right there.
Yeah. Why are you so stupid? Why would I use the door? Exactly. It's right there, Steve! Brilliant.
True to form, though,
yeah.
He has a scheme, he has a plan.
Yeah.
There is it's built on a lie, but he never thinks past stage one.
No. But, you know, give credit where it's due. Actually, George is so adept at thinking on his feet. I mean,
yeah.
He's very quick. And
Sartorial Corner returns with Jerry paying tribute to Beano.
Absolutely. I thought Freddy Krueger.
That too, actually. Yes. Yeah.
Although it's the nicest jumper he wears in this episode. the one that looks most contemporary, Kramer. I mean, I can see why he wants to keep jacket. Kramer looks so cool with the costume he's got in this episode. 85. That is now. I had to look this up because I haven't got a very high IQ. That's not a very good IQ test score. It's barely average. I noticed the brand of the bike. Is it a Klein? Do they still?
Oh, I hadn't even looked.
Do they still make those?
I don't know. You're the bike expert between the two of us here.
I've never heard of Klein. Might be an American thing.
Let's assume maybe they haven't been a breakthrough.
Possibly
success.
It looks heavy. Looks like a heavy 90s bike.
Oh.
Brilliant. So, this where the story takes the kick upwards.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, things have gone wrong. So, should we leave it or should we double down? They can't leave it. They can only ever double down.
Of course.
It's what they do.
Well, there are now two people at stake here.
Yeah.
Because Elaine has flunked the test through being distracted.
Yeah.
She's going to be pretty disappointed. She's going to want a second go.
Yeah.
And, you know,
George looks like a dummy.
Yeah.
And Jerry's got that
jumper. What a guarantee. I wouldn't take it.
And Jerry's got that jumper tucked into his jeans.
He's a brave young man, isn't he?
Who would have thought, now, he's a Pakistani man.
Yes.
He's opened up a Pakistani restaurant.
He has.
The vast majority of people from Pakistan are Muslims. People who wear turbans, generally, are Sikhs.
Mm-hmm.
What's he got a turban on for?
It's a good question.
Yeah. I'm not...
I mean, we are at a point in American history where he could have, bravely gone forward with the Muslim look and that not be an issue.
Yeah, no, he'd just be accepted as someone trying to make a go of it in the land of the free. Yeah. And the home of the
New York Yankees.
That's it. I like that. A little quiet scene of George pacing. I love that they had time for that. I'm not even going to bother with the sartorial corner for this bit of stand-up.
No, it's all right.
I feel like I've attacked Jerry's dress sense so much that it just isn't fair.
Yeah, and it would be unfair of me to say that that jacket looks like it was made out of carpet tiles.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so, of course. The test has been completed, undisturbed. Surely this is a success.
Yeah, and clearly in time. So, of course, Kramer hides in Jerry's.
Yeah.
He knows where I live. What? Opposite to Jerry?
There's a whirlwind of chaos.
That's Kramer.
Mm-hmm.
I quite enjoyed that. Sometimes, sometimes when you listen to this, there'll be a pause because we're both watching the action.
Yeah, that's how it works.
What delighted me a second ago there was the reason that there was a pause was because we both took a drink at the same time. I love this.
Oh, yes.
He's filling.
He is.
Mm. She's an intelligent woman.
This is the tactile version of Take It Easy.
Mm. I believe in terms of John, in terms of, I have to say that doesn't look all that appealing either. Both meals he's had look a bit like kedgeree to me. I don't care for kedgeree, Steve.
I've never even heard of the word before.
They should call it stinky rice.
Ah, stinky rice.
It's like smoked haddock or something in and rice. Turmeric rice, but it just smells like stinky rice. Babu's had a little bit of a turnaround in his personality. I love how quickly it's become all Jerry's fault, though.
Yeah.
That this guy can't get his business off the ground. There we go. Now, it's this little you bad man, very, very bad man, and the little finger waggle apparently became like gold on their set after that. It was something that rather begot, and I can see why. It's a very funny, very funny thing. Oh, Elaine's been rumbled too now.
I like this.
Yeah. So do I, because I'm watching it.
Oh, this thing?
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Everyone knows.
Yeah.
Come on. You know you've been rumbled.
Elaine's ego needs servicing here. Of course she's going to give her the test comes. Back. Brilliant.
Love that line.
Well, she couldn't do much worse.
Bye.
Very much like the drawing she had in her bedroom there. So, Dream Cafe has closed. The dream has died.
It maybe was the Nightmare Cafe.
But they're back outside again.
No jacket.
No. Almo's Bar and Grill. It's 151 is a very impressive IQ.
Very impressive. What she had before was very impressive.
85. Oh, 141.
Yeah. The initial test result. Yeah.
No, it's a tidy little capper. Deciding where to go out and eat.
The fact that they're like, oh, what can we have? And it's Mexican, Italian, Chinese, which is the exact mirroring of the phrasing that they had right at the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Three different nations you could have purchased at the Dream Cafe.
Absolutely.
In its 1.0 version.
Which is a bit like, we've got a restaurant like that in town that I'm a bit suspicious of. That there's many, many different regional themed menus in one.
Oh, this is like the global buffet kind of setup. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that sort of thing. I don't trust it. There's a lot of frozen food going on in a restaurant like that.
There's a lot of 3665 or whatever.
Food.
The company is that delivers all the food in a big truck.
I can't remember when it was when someone pointed out to me why 3663 was so called, because it's food on an alphanumeric keypad, isn't it?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for people who even paid attention to that.
Yeah, it makes them very millennial.
Does it, though?
I mean, of the millennium, when that sort of thing is becoming...
That makes me think of a rotary phone. Because they always used to have the little letters next to the numbers.
That's true.
Back in the day when a phone number was basically like four digits.
Yeah, no, good point. Yeah, no, could go back that far. Steve.
Hello.
That was Season 3, Episode 7, The Cafe. What do you think?
What do I think? That was actually a pretty breathless 22, 23 minutes. There was so much to kind of point out and discuss during the course of that episode. We just couldn't.
Yeah.
We couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I thought this was a solid dose of Seinfeld.
Yay!
thank
God!
And I mean, we had an interesting double header last time, didn't we, with the library and the parking garage, where perhaps part of the issue was the fact that maybe you had said, oh, wait until this, and you talked it up. My expectations were raised. Obviously, I had no expectations for this one. I didn't know what kind of level of quality I was in for, but... maybe that had something to do with my response. I don't know. But there was just something that felt right in this episode.
Yeah.
In just the fact that they all had something to do. It meshed together very well. They're all very relaxed with each other. You know, sometimes you get these episodes where it just goes off onto a tangent. You know, this isn't one of them.
No.
But you don't miss that either, because everything just makes wonderful sense together.
Yeah.
Jerry's got his own thing going on here. He's got the Dream Cafe in which to play with. So he's got something that keeps him busy.
Yeah.
But again, for most of it, he's still playing backseat and watching what's happening to Elaine and George, which is like, I think, the best place for him.
Yeah.
Like, he has something to do, like in the heart attack. And he's got like that note that he can't make sense of.
Yeah.
So he's still got that back seat, but he's got something to do. And this has that kind of similar use of him, which I think actually works really well, where he's not like front and centre. He gets to watch people kind of flail about, and he's never that keen to help.
No.
He'll be on their shoulder.
Yeah.
And he might push them in a direction, but he's never like, all right, let me give you a hand here.
He likes to watch.
It's a very interesting aspect to him.
He enjoys watching the monkeys dance.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Now, the thing with the Dream Cafe as well was, I mean, that there's something going on there. I mean, he's a guy that's been living in that apartment for an untold amount of time, probably several years.
Yeah.
Very familiar with that street below him, and has seen that unit change hands many, many times.
Yeah.
Taken an unhealthy interest in it.
Yeah.
The fact that he, at the beginning, kind of has this fascination about it, but is toying with the idea of whether he'll go in or not.
Yeah.
You know, he might not have. But then when he does go in, it's really all about what he can bring to the place. Yeah. First of all, as, like, what appears to be its sole customer.
Uh-huh.
And then somehow, by feeding off the enthusiasm of someone who's paying a lot of attention to him because he is the only customer, then thinks that he can, you know, turn its fortunes around and Gordon Ramsay the place.
He really parlays that gratitude into something, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Mm. And gets very self-satisfied about it. And again, says a lot about him without beating you over the head with it.
He's a terrible person.
He's a bad, bad man.
He's a very bad man.
But you know what? And I mean, I guess Babu was a very keen entrepreneurial kind of chap. Yeah. What's the best for his
business?
He's
a go-getter.
To be honest, I didn't see anything all that wrong with his first idea.
No, it was, I mean, the could have done a bit more with the decor. And Frank and Beans is never a good look.
No. But you know, we all have to start somewhere. Yeah. But you know, when Jerry is 100% of the customer base,
mm-hmm.
and you as a business owner only has one customer,
yeah.
that's not really a great combination for anything. So I'm surprised really it goes the way it does. Yeah. But you know, Babu is allowed to get a bit annoyed, but at the same time, he didn't have to listen to Jerry either.
No, I particularly love the switch around in Babu, because his praise is ill-deserved.
It's also born from a desire to hold on to your customer, right?
And his ira, though, is it's not Jerry's fault that you've planned this business really badly.
Yeah, it's not Elaine's fault that she wanted tea and toast.
No, quite right. And that might be where he was going wrong.
I think so.
Growling at people when they want tea and toast. So there's a lesson for any aspiring cafe owners.
There is. A fascinating little thing. Babu, again, great character.
Mm.
Seinfeld doing a great job yet again of having a little guy that you don't necessarily think is going to really do a great deal and just blows it out of the box.
Yeah.
Again, great character, great performance. That's fantastic. George and Elaine's simple plan.
Yeah.
They've had these simple plans before.
Yeah.
And they don't tend to work out. They do get frustrated. And Kramer in this one in particular, mm-hmm. I think we'll probably see this more often,
uh-huh.
is going to be kind of like that whirlwind that comes in and mm-hmm. starts to spoil things.
Oh, he stirs shit up.
Not deliberately in any way, but just by being him.
Yeah.
That was just great fun seeing mm-hmm. all of that kick off. And just like Kramer's position in these stories at the moment, he's more than the guy now who's peeking his head in from the door.
Yeah.
He's with them outside. He's doing other things.
And he's got a life of his own going on.
Yeah, he does as well. Yeah. He's definitely part of the group, but he's got his own thing going on. But it's good to see him now having something more to do. Isn't probably as accurate as what I want to say, but like he's more interwoven with what's going on. Which is pretty cool.
And he's being written for at this point. Whereas
that
bit with the hot towel, which is hilarious, would have been scripted, but you can only script that if you know what the performer's likely to do with mm-hmm. it, because otherwise there's no point. It's a brilliant piece of physical comedy.
George.
Mm-hmm.
Old George. We're getting quite familiar with the kind of situations that George finds himself in. Always unlucky with women. Always sabotaging those situations.
But constantly sat there, painting himself into increasingly small corners.
Yeah. Just straight away at the beginning, it's like, I'm in a relationship with someone.
Mm.
And, you know, stuff about the cologne and stuff about the test. And he's already finding excuses for why it's not going to go well.
Yeah.
He could just step back from them.
Yeah.
But he leans into them and makes those things happen.
Pre-sabotage.
Absolutely. And the deal with the IQ test is a really interesting kicker, because he's obviously suffering from a lack of confidence. Maybe he didn't do too well in his SATs
and mm-hmm.
has modified the figures ever so slightly.
Oh, George has definitely got an inferiority complex.
But he could have surprised himself by taking the IQ test. He might have been pleasantly surprised, but he just couldn't allow himself to do that. Hands it over to Elaine, clearly very smart.
Yeah.
So he loses out, several times here. He loses out on finding out what his IQ is. It could have been good news. He loses another relationship, and Elaine not only passes that IQ test, but improves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is another gut punch for George. There's a lot going on there, which he's taking very, very hard.
I kind of get where George is coming from, though. George has lived with George for a long time.
Yes.
And has been let down by George many, many times. I understand why he doesn't trust George.
Indeed. Oh, you know what? Yeah, good stuff.
You enjoyed that episode.
Good stuff.
What a relief.
A great, just a really, really great balance between all the characters. They've all got room to breathe. It just happens all very naturally. I really enjoyed that about it.
Well, that's a relief to me, because I think if you'd not liked this one, we were going to be in a lot of trouble later on.
Pause for effect.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, great. I really like how much you enjoyed that. That's made me feel very happy indeed.
That's good.
I feel that Seinfeld is really seeping into your veins now.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed how much you enthused about that one. It's a great episode. Babu is a fantastic character. And the other stories are superbly written as well. But unless you have anything further to say, Steve?
No.
Okay. Well, then I'm just going to thank a listener for listening. Remind them that we have a Facebook page if they wish to communicate with us in any way. They can also rate and review us on their podcatcher of choice.
That'd be really good, actually.
Yeah, we'd really appreciate that. And do let us know you've done it, so we go and have a look, because I never really go and check whether it's got reviews, to be honest with you, because I've got a very busy lifestyle, Steve.
I feel a little bit awkward about being the first person to review a podcast in which I participate.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I've got a friend I make other podcasts with who always does that.
Oh.
So I'll say again, thank you for listening. And bye-bye.
Tea and toast.